I'm going to sit here. You have 30 seconds to get it together or we're not playing.
Gabe Hoffman's third grade class at Nora Elementary has a math test tomorrow. So he's leading them in a review game. He writes an addition or subtraction problem on the board, and they solve it on their own. If a student gets it wrong, he or she is out. But right now, the group is talking too much when they should be working.
You guys are really, really close to just doing the review sheet.
Hoffman's frustrated because he wants to play games with his students and make the test review fun. But 6 weeks into the school year, he's getting a handle on what types of games work and don't work with his kids.
So it just depends. You have to really find out what fits your kids' needs. I know.
For Hoffman, he's learned his students can't focus when they play games in teams, and he has to give them more structure when doing group work.
I know other teachers that they can do whatever one they want, and the kids are fine getting right back together, but I have a group that I have a couple in the room that are particularly like able to amp up everybody else. So.
Which has caused some growing pains for Hoffman. Today's review game is a good example. Since the kids came back from recess, they've had trouble calming down and focusing on their work. He tried playing a 2-minute educational video to calm them down. He read aloud from a novel they're reading as a class and had them work in small groups using class computers. But they keep getting rowdy. So Hoffman ends the game. Heidi Torres teaches undergraduate curriculum classes at Indiana University. She says helping future teachers be prepared for any situation is more important than arming them with individual teaching strategies.
And recognizing that a strategy that I give you may not work in this classroom, but it will work in this one. And so having what we like to call a toolbox, because not everything works everywhere in the same way.
The book that we are going to be reading today for our mini lesson and reader's workshop is called Poppleton Forever.
One of the tactics Sarah Draper has added to her toolbox is tailoring her behavior system to her students' needs. Every classroom at Helmsburg Elementary in Brown County uses a clip chart, where a student moves their clip up for good behavior and down for bad. And typically, this is how she awards a movement with the clip.
Aiden, Maddie, Corbin, Sophia, Allison, Natasha, you may all go put that. Awesome job. I love the way that you brought your reading bag to the floor.
But almost immediately this fall, she noticed some of the kids were uncomfortable when she called them out, even when it was for good behavior.
So, I don't know if you noticed, but while I was walking around, and I saw someone, instead of saying, wow, you can go clip up, you're doing such an awesome job reading, I would just say, like, you can go clip up, you're doing awesome. And then they're so excited, then they just, like, walk over there and, you know, move their clip, but they're not singled out in front of the whole class. So.
Which makes them feel more comfortable in the classroom. And as much as these new teachers want that for the kids, they themselves are trying all these different approaches to teaching so they can feel comfortable, too, in their new role as educators. And some days it's frustrating. Chris Conway, a fifth-grade math and science teacher at Riverside Intermediate School in Fishers, recalls one day when none of his kids grasped a lesson on fractions.
The way I taught it, they just did not get it the way I wanted them to. So I went home and I thought about a different way to do it. I came back the next day with a totally different way to do it, and I just saw light bulbs going off all over the classroom.
And that's what it's all about. Conway found a way to connect with his students so they understood the lesson. And at the end of the day, Conway says he left school feeling like he'd done a good job. For State Impact Indiana, I'm Claire McInerney.